Well done. I didn't have to shush you at all today, so good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran on this, does it get any better than this, Sunday in June? I mean, the mosquitoes haven't shown up yet, so we know they will. We know they will, but let's just enjoy it while we have it. But after this last winter, I think we won't even mind the mosquitoes. It's like, whatever. At least we won't freeze to death. So welcome to Grace on this beautiful Sunday in June. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary here, if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online. We welcome you in the name of our Lord. So just a few announcements before we get started today. I've been informed that there was a little bag of old coins found out in the parking lot. So if they are yours or you're missing them, see Jessica Rotz. Jessica, could you hold your hand up? And she might put you through a test. Can you describe the bag? Can you describe the coins? But it may have been from the concert Wednesday night too. But anyway, yeah. So if you're missing a little bag of old coins, talk to Jess. All right, just a quick look at our week. Tuesday, 3 to 4:30. I'll be in Pelican Rapids doing services at Riverfront on Main and the Pelican Valley Senior Center. And then Wednesday, 8 a.m., we continue on with our Bible study. We're in the Gospel of John, and you can jump in anytime. We're having a good time with that. We take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets. So if you have a prayer request, feel free to fill that out, put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. Wednesday, 10 a.m., I'll be in another district meeting online. And then Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, Grace Youth Group meets here. That's grades 5 through 12. And this is just your standard youth group. We're going to meet for a meal, have some devotions, and then do some games. And you should note there's a Foundry summertime schedule. It's on the bulletin board out front, and it's on Facebook, too. So there's a lot of exciting things going on this summer, including a trip to Valley Fair. So you might want to take a look at that. All right, Thursday, 9 a.m., Grace Lutheran Women meet. They meet for brunch, Bible study, and a little business. All women are welcome to attend. There's some birthdays this week. We'll pray for you by name at the end of the service. Next Sunday, June 19th, second Sunday after Pentecost, and Father's Day. So we're continuing on with our 10 o'clock worship right all the way through the summer. There's no time chain this year. We're just staying right at 10 a.m. June Mission of the Month is the Steve Anderson Benefit. Steve passed away on May 6th after a six-month battle with cancer, but contributions will go towards helping his family with various expenses. And they are members of this congregation and members of Earhart. So, and there's a big benefit going on next Saturday, I believe, correct? Yes. So we want to pitch in and help however we can. So, and then June 28th, 29th, and the 30th, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 12 to 7:20 p.m., there's time slots for our pictorial directory. We're working on a new photo directory. This is not about membership. This is, if you attend here, this is about, you know, connecting names with faces. So this is not about membership. There's sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall if you want to reserve a time. We don't care if you're a member here. If you attend here, we want to get to know you, and you want to get to know us. So please sign up to have your, I think there's some more times in August, but this is definitely a three-day slot that you want to take advantage of. So make sure to check out those directory pages. And again, if you attend here, we think you're part of the community. This is about community, not membership. So we'd love to have you on our directory. And then some thank yous go out. Thank yous to those who served last Sunday, food and fellowship after church, and we have that every Sunday. You'll notice when you go through the line, there's the opportunity to give towards that Steve Anderson benefit. And then those who served at our concert Wednesday night. We had a really nice concert. It was really well attended, and it was a good evening. So those are the announcements. Anything else? Going once. Going twice. All right, let's turn the corner into our worship service proper this morning. We open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
morning. It's great to see all of you this morning, and I'd like to invite you to join us in our opening song of praise this morning. You can see it up on the screen. The name of the song is All the Heavens.
This morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 8, verses 1 through 5 and 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory in the heavens.
Through the praise of children and infants.
You have established a stronghold against your enemies.
To silence the foe and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers.
The moon and the stars, which you have set in place.
What is mankind if you are mindful of them?
Human beings, that you care for them.
You have made them a little lower than the angels.
And crowded them with glory and honor. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. O Lord, we praise your holy name. You are good and your mercy endures forever. You created us and sustain us. You redeemed us and sanctify us. You give bread for the body and refresh our souls with your spirit. You take away the burden of our sins and comfort us in every sorrow. You bless us with more than we can ask or imagine. To you be glory forevermore. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to come forward as we turn to the response hymn titled Holy, Holy, Holy. It's hymn number 165 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah finds himself in the temple, experiencing the presence of God in this vision, and he sees the seraphim flying back and forth, and they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah's response, finding himself coram deo, naked before God, a holy God, is to say, "Woe is me, I am ruined. I'm a dead man." And then God moves upon him freely to forgive. We connect with this God on this level every Sunday when we stand before him openly and honestly, confess that we are sinners, and hear of his blessed forgiveness. Let's do that together right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do. But we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. God's good news to us confessed sinners is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him, your sins is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free.
Amen.
Let us confess the Christian faith in the ancient summary called the Apostles' Creed. Christians all over the planet have confessed this ancient and orthodox summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship. They've confessed it for over 1,700 years. Let's step into the rich stream of that tradition right now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
First reading this morning comes from Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 to 31. This is wisdom's call. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries out aloud, "To you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before the deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there was no springs outflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust on the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above the fixed and securely of the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole word and delighting in mankind. The second reading is from John 8, verses 48 to 59, where Jesus claims about himself. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whatever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. And if I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and slipping away from the temple grounds. Prayers of the Church. God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray this in the name of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Protect us, O Lord, from distrust of your fatherly care, whenever we became overly anxious about our earthly needs. Direct us to live for hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, that for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name, may they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Jeff. Powerful scriptures for this Trinity Sunday. And we'll hear a little bit more concerning the preaching of this God, this living God. But before we get there, we're at a point in our service where I think we can stand up, stretch our legs, and in whatever way seems appropriate to you, greet your neighbor. Morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Hey, Mason. Good to see you.
Well, this morning, rather than singing for you, I'm going to play a piano arrangement of a song that we do sing here. The song is Give Me Jesus. You can find the lyrics to this song on page 777 in the Blue With One Voice hymnal. If you wish to read those lyrics while I'm playing, the song that I'm playing doesn't have as many verses as are in the hymnal, but welcome to just read through those and reflect while I play Give Me Jesus.
Thank you, Amy. Give me Jesus. Well, kids, it's that time in the service where if any of you want to come over to the table and chair and meet me, I see Dacia's arrived with the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total waste. All right, come on up. Good to see you, kids. All right, come on up. I think I'm going to stand for this. It's summertime, and isn't summer wonderful? One of the things I've been enjoying this summer is getting back into golf. I quit playing golf for about 4 or 5 years and decided I'd pick up my golf game again. And so have any of you ever golfed? Okay, you have. Maybe you can help me. So we'll put a ball here on the floor, okay? Just drop that on the floor. And then I have a brand new club here, and I'm going to take it out of the package, give it to you. All right. You want to hold that? Doesn't that feel nice? Wow. Yeah, you can put both hands on it. Feels really soft, nice. And so can you hit the ball? It's not going to really work, though, is it? Maybe if you had a glove, it would help. Okay, we'll put that here. Maybe a tee? You could put it up on a tee? Okay. Or just maybe another ball would help. No, he's beginning to doubt me now. He's shaking his head. So that ball won't help. What's the deal here? Why can't you hit the ball with that?
It's too small.
A matter of fact, there's no club ins. It's just a grip, isn't it? So here's an actual club. Okay. And you've just got the grip, but not the club in it. Now, some people treat Jesus this way. They just have this. And they think about Jesus, and they like the idea of Jesus, but they don't ever pray to him. They don't ever read the Bible. They don't ever listen to what Jesus has to say to them. So we want to remember today that Jesus is a real person, just like this is a real golf club. See, now you could actually, we're not going to hit the ball here, but you could actually hit the ball with that club, couldn't you? It's functional because you've got the whole thing. And so today we're going to talk about how wonderful it is to have a real Jesus, because he rose from the dead. And he's not just a story in a book. He's someone we can pray to, okay? He's someone we can come to church and meet through other people. He's someone that when we take communion, he meets us there. So this is a real Jesus. And more importantly, he's a real Jesus who gives us forgiveness. That's why every Sunday we stand up here together and we say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm a sinner. And God gives us that forgiveness. So we want to remember to treat Jesus not like this, but like this. He's a real person, and he can give us forgiveness and fellowship and comfort. When we're sad, we can pray to him. When we're happy, we can rejoice with him. When we feel bad about our sins, we can confess to him, and he forgives us. So let's pray to him right now, shall we? Dear Jesus, I thank you for each one of these kids up here. You love them very much. And we pray, Lord, that as they grow, they would grow in their knowledge and in their faith in you, because you are real. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, thank you, kids, for coming up here, and let's give them a hand for coming up. And there's your fruit snacks. Thank you, kids. You make our church life so, so wonderful. All right. New Life in an Old World is the title of today's message. It's drawn from the text out of Acts chapter 2 from this Trinity Sunday. And let's pray as we come before God's Word. Lord, your Word is truth. Your Word is spirit. And we pray that you would work through these words to enlarge in our hearts true knowledge and faith in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, I'll tell you a little story about when Brad went to college for the first time. So Brad had been an active layman in his church, and I had been trained in evangelism by my pastor, and I was on the launching pad for the ministry. So I began my academic career at Concordia St. Paul in St. Paul, Minnesota, in a brand new pilot program launched by the church body I was affiliated with called Director of Evangelism. So I was a layman who had experience in evangelism for several years. So I had a little chip on my shoulder, okay? I thought I was pretty hot stuff, okay? I was comfortable going out and talking to anybody about Jesus. I used to go to I didn't know it was illegal at the time, but I'd go to the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport and just wander around and talk to people about Jesus. So, after I got my general ed classes out of the way, it came time to get into the meat of my program, and I took a college course on evangelism. I naturally felt a little ahead of the curve, and I was eager to hit the streets. Much to my dismay, the instructor required us to read and outline all the sermons in the book of Acts. I thought, what is this? Typical academia, right? All theory, no practice. But my eyes were opened to the importance of the resurrection as I read through all of the sermons in the book of Acts and realized how important the resurrection was to their gospel proclamation. I had been leaving Jesus on the cross. So today's text for this Trinity Sunday, one of the sermons in the book of Acts that I outlined, will remind us of the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter's inspired Pentecost sermon will deliver three powerful points about the importance of the resurrection to us. And so we will call this New Life in an Old World. Number one, he's going to really talk about the reality of the resurrection. It really happened. And then he's going to talk to us about the results of the resurrection. What does God deliver to us through this resurrection? And then, of course, we'll get the response to the resurrection. So Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 39, the word of the Lord. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, this is a quote from Psalm 16, written about 1,000 years before the time of Christ, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on a throne, on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, a quote from Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The word of the Lord. Well, what an amazing text. Part of Peter's Pentecost sermon. And Peter does it here. He talks about just the stark reality of the resurrection, the reality of the new life that God brings to us. Now, this is not the theft theory of the resurrection. This is an old falsehood about the resurrection of Jesus. We see it in Matthew 28:11 through 15. Some of the soldiers who had been paralyzed with fear by the angel who rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb were bribed by the chief priests to lie and say that while they were asleep, the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. Now, there's some serious problems with this lie. First of all, even if the disciples could have stolen the body, why would they? They never even believed Jesus would rise from the dead either. You can read about that in John 20. It tells us that they didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Why would most of the disciples die a martyr's death for a lie, for a hoax? Doesn't make any sense. Secondly, and most obviously, if the guards were really asleep, how would they know who stole the body? Anyway, now a more popular one is the swoon theory, and that's that Jesus didn't really die. He was just in a semi-coma state and then came to. And this is just a horrible lie, too. The Romans, we know, were experts at execution. They wouldn't have allowed someone even the remotest chance of living. A centurion and an armed guard were sent out to confirm the fact of his death. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus was scourged. He was crucified. He had a spear thrust to ensure that he was actually dead, rupturing the sac around his heart. That's where the blood and the water came out. Then after this, he was entombed for 3 days with around 80 to 100 pounds of spices and cloth wrapped around him in a mummy-like fashion. And then after 3 days, we are to believe, according to this theory, that he came out of his coma. 3 days after being horribly beaten and crucified with no food, no water, no medical assistance, he somehow came to and rolled this large stone away all by himself. It's kind of ridiculous, but anyway, people will go to great lengths to deny the reality of what truly is. And then we know furthermore from the rest of the scripture that he walked the road to Emmaus and talked with some disciples of his. And then we know from 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to over 500 people. So personally, I think it takes more faith to believe these false theories than it does just to remember the reality. So let's take a closer look at the results of Christ's resurrection. And Peter makes four quick points about just the results of that come to us, what God delivers to us because Jesus actually did rise from the dead. And the first point is that Christ is victorious over death, victorious for us. I love this passage out of Revelation chapter 1. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. So he is victorious. We hang on to this truth whenever we have a funeral here. And we lean heavily into that third article of the Apostles' Creed, that we confess the resurrection. We actually believe Jesus rose, and because he rose, we will rise also. So what a beautiful truth that is. Christ is victorious for us over life and death. The second result is that God's word of promise is confirmed for us as true. Now, we heard Peter cite two passages from the book of Psalms, both Psalms of David, Psalm 16 and Psalm 110, written about 1,000 years before the advent of Christ. And remember when he said David died and was buried. Look, he wrote about this, that God's not going to allow his Holy One to undergo decay. But Peter says, look, you can go down and see David's tomb today. He died. He wasn't talking about himself. God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. So this was no accident. God was intending to do this. Sin came into our world in the Garden of Eden, our first parent's sin, and death came with it. And so God set in motion, sending us his Son, who would be the second Adam, who would defeat sin, who would defeat Satan, and defeat death for us. The third result of the resurrection is that Christ is exalted to the right hand of God for us. What a wonderful truth this is. Peter says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. This is a quote from Psalm 110. And he says, look, this is the reality of who Jesus is. He is the exalted one, both Lord and Christ. And I love what Paul says in Romans 8. And if you're ever in the hospital or having trouble, I may read this passage to you and remind you that Jesus is at the right hand of God speaking your name into the Father's ear. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and who is also interceding for us. Because he's alive, he sits at the right hand of God, a position of power to represent you. And because he's alive, he can also be with you. That's the beautiful thing. We call it omnipresent. He can be at the right hand of God, and he can be with you here, sitting alongside of you. Well, the fourth result of the resurrection is that the exalted Christ gives us the Spirit for our faith and witness. And we are
in this section in John right now that we're studying on Wednesday morning, where Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going to go away, but he's going to send another comforter, another parakletos, another, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So, and Peter touches on this. He says, look, he is exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured out what you see and hear right now. So we know Pentecost was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so what a powerful result we have. Jesus is not just a story in a book. He's a real and living person who's conquered death for you. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for you. He sent his Spirit to you. He's a real person. So this brings us to a natural conclusion. What is my response to all of this? Well, Peter actually touches on this in his sermon. Peter gives us 3 points. Number one, repent. Be free to come clean with God. You've got a living Savior who lives to deliver forgiveness to you. Admit to God what he already knows, that you are a sinner in need of his forgiveness. That's what the gospel does. The gospel of God's grace frees us to be honest with God. We don't have to, you know, if we were to go back and read Isaiah 6, Isaiah makes no plea for mercy. Oh God, if you'll forgive me, I'll clean up my act, or I'll never do this. He just says, woe is me, I'm a dead man. And God moves upon him freely with forgiveness. The gospel does that. It frees us. And then Peter says, receive. Receive God's forgiveness. Embrace the resurrected Christ as he embraces you. God sent him to suffer and die for you. God sent him to accomplish this great salvation. And then thirdly, rejoice in Christ's word, sacraments, and presence. His promise is for you. And we do all of these when we gather together. Yes, you can do them privately. We live in a culture that pushes individualism. But what we have right here is very special, where we come together. This is God's plan for your Christian life, is to be amongst other Christians. So I enjoy reading and thinking about what good theologians have to say about our life of faith. Here are 2 examples. One, a contemporary or modern theologian, another from the 1800s. Both speak truth. I love what Paul Tripp says. Grace frees you from being afraid of admitting your sin, weakness, and failures. Why? Because his grace is sufficient. Because Jesus paid for all of it. And then C.F.W. Walther. He says, grace is not something for which I must look in my heart. It is in the heart of God. And his grace is delivered to us today through a real and living Savior as he speaks to us his truth that your sin is finally and fully forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am alive for you today. I am your friend. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, you have been raised from the dead. Preaching the gospel is not useless, it's essential. Faith in you is not futile, but fertile. We're no longer encased in our sins, we're fully wrapped in your righteousness. Those who have gone to sleep in you are not slumbering in the void. They are savoring your resurrection glory. Because of your compelling love, show us to live for you, for you died for us and have been raised again. Amen and amen. A prayer by Scotty Smith. As we respond to God's word and take the offering, you're invited to sing together, Savior Again, To Your Dear Name We Raise, hymn number 262 in the green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen. Please be seated. This morning, because we have a living Savior to pray to, let's do just that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, the three in one, we pray to you today and thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray specifically for those who celebrate birthdays this week. We ask your blessing to be upon Judy Michelson, Shelley Grunwald, Caleb Tollefson, Mary Ferguson, Bryce Morrison, Amy Hassling, Ted Tollefson, Roger Anderson, Dennis Hybe, Tina Jessen, Crosby Westby, Elise Hassling, and Harlan Seidel. Lord, may each of these know this week your love and your goodness for them, given so freely in the grace you give in your Son. Lord, we pray for those who may be lonely or struggling during this time. We pray that you might grant them knowledge of your living presence and that they are not alone, that you have come down into the very trenches of our troubled world to be with us. So grant them peace and comfort. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts, our own struggles, our own trials, unspoken as they may be to others, but open up
to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As our time this morning draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and join in our closing song, My Savior's Love. Thank you.
good to gather together today. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. I pray your blessing on today. Receive a blessing from the Lord. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious and living Lord.